Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Jason Michael, and as odd as it is to say this, I welcome you because what we do is participate in what I guess is the most ancient of traditions. It's time when we come together and we honor those who have gone on before us, those we love, those we will not soon forget, and I thank you for allowing me to be a part of that. What an amazing man. So while we do mourn the passing, we sure celebrate a life this afternoon because we all know what kind of phenomenal a person this was, and that's why we gather here. So I do welcome you, and thank you for being here. One of the traditions that I enjoy doing at moments like this is reading the obituary. We all have it right here in front of us. I guess we could read it on our own, but there's something about saying these things out loud in the community that allows us to really recognize how full a life is. So if you'll allow me, I would love to for us to share that. Carl Brenneman, loving husband, father, and grandfather, passed away on Tuesday, August 10th, 2021, at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Carl was born March 6, 1955, in Sioux Center, Iowa, to Andrew and Joan, and I am going to butcher that last name. Help me. I believe that you got that right. Brenneman, and was the youngest of four boys. He moved with his family to a farm near Rock Rapids, Iowa, where he received his education. He graduated high school in 1973 from Central Lyon High School in Rock Rapids. He attended college at Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa. After high school, he joined the National Guard, where he served for many years before receiving his honorable discharge. On April 5th, 1985, he married the love of his life, Barbara Ezekons. Did I get it right? Coons? I got it close. In Alton, Iowa, where they settled for 16 years before moving to Brentwood, Tennessee in 2001. Carl worked in car sales for almost 30 years, where he was a mentor and friend to many before retiring in 2019. He was a member of Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Nolensville, Tennessee. As an avid Kansas City Chiefs fan, he rarely missed a game on the television and always rooted for whoever was playing the Minnesota Vikings. Amen. He enjoyed spending time with his family, reading about World War II, John Wayne movies, and a good cup of coffee. He is survived by his loving wife, Barbara, and his seven children, Wade, Bryce, Miranda, Ashley, Kayla, Andrew, and Carly, and their loved ones. He is also survived by his 12 grandchildren, Jenna, Jackson, Selah, Hannah, Piper, Mara, Bennett, Henley, Tegan, Beckett, Laney May, and Larson, and his two brothers, Arlen and Wendell, and their wives. He is preceded in death by his mother, Joan Brenneman, and his father, Andrew Brenneman, and his brother, Howard. What a life well lived. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I thank you for life. We come today, God, knowing that we mourn death, because there is such a pain involved in it. But we also recognize that we are celebrating life in the already but the not yet. We know, God, of the pain of the now, but we know that there is something else. Carl believed there was something else. He had faith. And so we thank you, God, that whatever this is not all that it becomes. And we thank you for Carl's witness in that. So we ask you, God, for strength. We ask you for the ability to make it through days when days don't seem bearable. We ask you, God, to comfort us in the midst of sorrow, recognizing that the beauty of the rest of Carl's story is what we know as well. So we ask you, God, for blessings in this time, and because we know you are a blessing, God, we say thank you. We go out from this day later and knowing that you've got our back, you're with us the whole way, and we can make it through those days that we didn't think we could get through, because you are our Savior, you are our Sustainer, you help us through those times. We thank you, God, for the friends and the family that gathered here. We don't make it through this world alone. We go through it with the community, and you've brought these here, and we thank you, God, for it. And we ask that they comfort one another, love one another, hold each other, and when this is all said and done, know that it was through each other and you that we got through. Thank you, God, for this. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a reason we repeat that so many times. Praise God for it. I understand that there are family members and friends that might have a good word to say about Carl. I can't imagine why. And I would invite you all up now. Are there those that would speak?
You know, any preacher, when he sees a pulpit, he has to get behind it.
Every time, brother, every time.
Every time. And thank you for the opportunity. So many memories of Carl. He was my little brother. I remember him, this just flashed in my mind earlier, and I don't know if anybody Arlen remembers this, but I don't know, Carl didn't have a speech impediment, but he had trouble getting his words together sometimes. And so he didn't know how to say Wendell, so he called me Menda. And I remember my mom telling me that if he didn't want me to go outside, he would say, Menda, don't go hind. And that stuck with him for years, and I don't think he really liked it. But we reminded him of that. We have so many good memories. Arlen and I were talking about the horses we had. We grew up on a farm. And of course, my dad was a perfectionist, and so that kind of rubbed Carl and Dad the wrong way at times, but they loved each other. And so Dad got us horses, and we had three different horses that we can remember. One was Jewel, the one you saw in the film. One was Prince, and the older one was May. And May was an Arabian that was just as gentle as can be. We had the cow yard, the cattle yard, and we had a big wooden bunk where we fed the cattle hay. And May would walk up to that hay bunk, and she would eat hay. And I remember Carl jumping on her back from the hay bunk. And he was just a little guy. And May would just quietly then move away from the bunk and plod around the yard, and he would ride on May that way. She was just... And then we had a lot of different animals on the farm. We had a German shepherd, you remember? We called him Rennie? Rin Tin Tin. And he was not the greatest guard dog, but he loved people. And, you know, you can't blame that. And I remember one time, and Carl was fairly young, we were fairly young at this time, and we had the first television we got was in 1958. And I remember that day it came, and I was immediately locked onto it. Carl was a little bit younger. But you know, they had the tubes and everything in them at that time, and it was black and white, but it was a fantastic thing. And I remember one time a TV repairman had to come on the yard, and he opened his door to get out of the truck, and Rennie jumped into the cab. And he was this big German shepherd. And he so scared this guy that the guy slammed the door shut, and here was the dog in the cab, locked in the cab. And I still remember all those memories of Carl. I remember him and I playing around the lilac bush. a lot of my memories deal with the younger years because I was old enough that when I was out of high school, he was just starting high school. So I don't remember a lot of those years. I was gone to the Air Force. But they're all good memories. They're all good memories. And I'm grateful for a life lived. But I'm most grateful for his faith.
Yes, sir.
For that,
yes, sir.
He held on to.
Yes, sir.
He knew who his Lord was.
Yes, sir.
And for me, that's everything. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Are there others that would choose to speak? Have a story that you would like to tell? I do, if you don't mind. First from 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. It might be said, I don't know, but it might be said that there are very few Hollywood endings to life. Death seems so powerful. It seems so real. If it weren't so, there wouldn't be tears, because those tears don't come with great highs. They often come as part of great lows. And so I see why some might think that Hollywood endings are rare in life. So either they're wrong, or that's why I'm thankful to know a short portion of the story of Carl Brenneman, because y'all, this brother right here did life right up until the end. His final weeks and his faith and his trust in God looks very much like, to me, like a Hollywood ending. And I'll be honest, I'm a little bit jealous of him in a very good way. I probably should have gotten permission from Carl to tell this story. I didn't. I'm one of those permission forgiveness kind of folks. And so I'm going to count on that mercy when we get to heaven, if that's okay. Anyway, the story is this. Carl, of course, was diagnosed 3.5 years ago, I believe. And from what I've heard, it was to a cancer that shouldn't last that long. But Carl's a fighter. And he told me that the day that he was right there, in fact. He told me that the cancer was there and it was raging. And I believed him when he said he was a fighter, too. I saw it deep in his eyes. I knew this man would never lay down. I was right. He fought every single day. He fought like a prize fighter, with strength and with courage and with great stamina. He went through every treatment there was and then some. The doctors fired every bullet they had in their gun to give him a chance at beating this thing. And for a long while, dude went blow to blow with cancer. But cancer and chemo came like two bulls in a china shop, and eventually his body began to break down. 2 weeks or maybe a little bit more ago, it put him in the hospital with pneumonia, and we all went to praying in the church. When I heard about it, I went up to Vandy to say, hey, and I'm just going to be honest, Carl wasn't quite himself. This always affable man was a tad bit grumpy. Not obscenely so, but enough that it was there, and, you know, who can blame him? Hospitals are absolutely horrible for mental health. You can't get any sleep. You can't get the food you want. You can't wander around. You can't go to the store. They don't have the right stations on the TV ever. And I swear, my wife Suzanne won't admit it. Maybe Kayla will. I am sure nurses have a class that they take that they know the moment you fall asleep so they can come in and poke and prod you again. I figured that might be why Carl was a little out of sorts. I mean, he was still pleasant, he was still loving, and he was still all those things that he always was. But after a few minutes of kind of shooting the bull, Carl finally fessed up. And I don't think actually fessed up is the right word. He explained is better. Carl explained himself. He stated his case, might be a good way to say it. See, I came to find out that one of the reasons that he'd been fighting so hard and going through whatever it is that he had to go through was that he wanted to go to a family reunion that they had back a week and a half ago now, I guess, back in Iowa, back home. That brother wanted to go home again so bad he couldn't stand it. He wanted to see everybody. Being that you don't have family reunions every other week or every other month or even really every other year, he knew that this was the time he had to go. He knew his chance was here and he wanted to make it. And man, he worked hard to go. He took therapies that it would have been very easy to say no to. He prayed, he hoped, he thought about it, he made plans, the whole family had. This was going to be a good thing, and so he prepared himself for the journey, and then he prayed some more. God, this is what I want to do, please help me with it. But now, as we're in Vandy, just a couple of days before he was supposed to leave, I was looking at a man that was just a little bit foul. Exasperated, because now all of a sudden it didn't look like this was going to happen. The one thing he really wanted most, it did not look like God was going to grant him, and Carl was, dare I say, hurt, I think. That's how I saw Carl anyway. See, Carl is a believer in God. He's a believer in God. He told me about it time and time and time again. He showed it time and time and time again. That brother, y'all, watched the services online like these folks are doing right now from the ER. I told him he ought to get the nurses to watch, and we'd just start a satellite campus in the ICU. What I'm saying is that he never lost his faith. You're exactly right, brother. Never lost his faith. He just became a little exasperated. He'd been faithful to God, and now in the hospital bed, he wasn't ashamed to be like, look, God, I did my part. I wanted to say goodbye is what he wanted to do. Standing there looking at Carl, I understood exactly where he was coming from. I didn't blame him. In fact, I applauded him. His faith hadn't gone anywhere, man. It was rock solid. It was unfettered. He just didn't understand why. There is plenty of evidence in Scripture of faithful people having the exact same reaction. All somebody needs to do is go read the story of Job to know that sometimes it's part of our faith to get a little sideways with our Creator. A little bit flummoxed is all. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, most of y'all know the rest of the story, right? The fun part. It seems as if Carl got God's attention. Carl hit the right button and God was like, excuse me. Call it what you will, but that's how I like to see it. I think God was like, Carl does have a point. Because here's what happened. You all know it. You can tell it in more detail than I can, but I love telling the story. I have told this story, I promise you, 20 times already. It goes like this. Carl got out of the hospital, I don't know, what, 2 days before y'all left, maybe? Not long. Day before. Not long enough, that's what I know, because that brother was not healthy. I saw him 2 days before that in the hospital, and he didn't need to be making a trip. But if God was going to give him the time and the strength, he was going to do his part. There was no time to drive now, though. The window had closed, so he hopped a flight. With the passionate care and loving support of his bride and his children and his family. And he went to Iowa because that's what he was going to do. Praise God. He was going to make it after all. So, sick as a dog, weak and frail. If it had been me, I'd have been in the bed. Y'all could have found me there. But not Carl. Sick and weak and frail was just something to overcome. And he went to the airport. Got on a plane, connected somewhere else, got off that plane, went to another plane, got to Iowa, did some bark there, rode a few hours in the car, and for the next 3 days or whatever it was, he had the biggest time of his life. As the story goes, he saw old friends, his best friend, his best man, all the family and everybody else, and even threw an axe at somebody's place. Which one of y'all is that? Is he here? We got to hang out, brother. Nothing stopped him. Carl was faithful. God gave him a chance, and Carl did his part. I heard that every time he met somebody up there, he acted like it was the best thing that ever happened to him. Carl had a blast. So anyway, y'all did your thing up there, and then it was time to come back, and so y'all flew home, and Carl Carl fell into bed Friday night exhausted, but by Saturday morning before daylight, I think, and pardon me if I get the facts wrong, but he was back in the hospital. He was in bad shape. The trip had done him in. He lost consciousness on Tuesday morning and was with our Savior by Tuesday afternoon with loved ones by his side. All I'm saying is, dude went hard, loved to the end, said his goodbyes, and rolled credits. And I just think that's awesome, man. God did God's part. Carl did Carl's part, and boom, Hollywood ending, made in life. That's the way you do it. And here's the thing. Here's the deal about that. Truly, if the story ended there, it would still be a box office hit. It's still such a tremendous story, but that story doesn't end there. Carl didn't see it as the end. We might see it on this side and mourn our loss, but the good news is that Carl's movie ending wasn't the end of Carl's story, because Carl's faithfulness brought it to a sequel, praise God. The faithfulness that Carl had brought about a second movie, a second act, and unlike the terrible sequels of Hollywood, this one was so much better than the first. Praise God this morning for the believer that Carl is. Not because he trusted his God to see him out of this world in a good way, but because his trust knew that there was a second act to live out. His story didn't end Tuesday. The Carl story is being lived right this moment in the presence of our Savior. See, Carl said something to me that day in the hospital room. He was in the bed. Barbara was sitting in the chair. He said something that made me realize that Carl's faith was not a flash in the pan faith. Carl's faith wasn't a what have you done for me lately kind of faith. That little bit of exasperation wasn't that Carl had dismissed God. No, that exasperation came from the fact that Carl knew what God was capable of, and he was past ready to see it again. It wasn't that he didn't believe God could do this for him. He knew God could do this for him, and he couldn't figure out why it hadn't been done. Carl didn't dismiss God. Carl said, God, I believe in you. I believe in your power and your might, and I'm just asking for a little bit here, for something that Carl believed was so right and good. Lord, show me your power. His faith was rock solid, man. He believed God. The faith was solid, and I got to witness it. And that's what I witness to now, because you know what? Carl was right about God. Carl was sustained, and he did get to make that trip, and he said his goodbyes, and he got back, and he was taken to the Lord, to a place where he would never, ever have to say goodbye again. God did give him the Hollywood ending, and we got to celebrate the few wins that we get around here, man. But I believe with all my heart that he's living the divine, never-ending story now. Carl knew God was faithful, and God was, and I praise God that he showed me that day. And that, you all, is what I will always remember about Carl Brenneman. His faith was inspirational to me. It was in all 4 years or whatever it was that I knew him, when he'd be at church every Sunday or online during the pandemic, and when he showed up in church one time in the middle of the pandemic, I'm like, dude, are you crazy? But he was here because he loved God. And he had to praise God for some stuff that he'd seen, I guess. That's some I want to be like Carl stuff right there, you know. Carl reminds me that even when things aren't like we think they should be, we still have a job. We are to stay true to our faith, trusting our Lord. We fight the good fight, and we finish the race. And know that as we do, God's got us, and God will be with us forever and ever. So family, you will miss Carl something terrible. He was, and he is, a good man. Just so good. But we carry with us a fantastic witness of a man who had an unstoppable faith in God, strong and unbending until the end, when he was rewarded with life forever with God. That's the gospel according to Carl, and I praise God for it. Amen. God bless you, family and friends. Barbara, the kids, grandkids, I will miss him with you until we see him again. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Sorry. Lord, we thank you for this life together. We thank you, God, for this this brief blink of a time that we happen to exist together in this world. What a miracle that we even know each other. And so we thank you for the miracle of knowing Carl. We thank you, God, that we got to know him, that we got to love him, that we got to be with him, that he got to witness to us, that we got to share the world with his kind nature. We just thank you, God, that that got to be the case. And we thank you because you are the creator of all things. So we ask you, God, as we leave this place, to fill us up with whatever it needs to be, to walk the days that we need to walk. Bless this family, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Hold them, comfort them. Be the sustainer that you have always been, the comforter that you have always been. Allow all of us to be able to support the family, too, in their times of need. We ask these things, God, because you are the only thing, only one that can give good things. So we pray to you. Amen.
Once again, you did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you.
As always.